that you will stick around when we finish our four cases this morning. We'll pull our chairs up and we'll have an informal conversation. We invite questions and we'll try to give you answers. We can't discuss the specifics of the cases we're going to hear today, but we can talk to you generally about the procedure, anything you want to know about us and what we do. We do have four cases this morning, and the attorneys will each get 10 minutes to present their oral argument to us. We typically take some time to ask questions during that 10 minutes, and we do that because we are wrestling with some particular issue of the case. We're not trying to interrupt them or change their thought processes, but it's hopefully a good dialogue between the court and the attorneys. So with that preface, we will call our first case of the day, and that is Boyer versus Boyer, and the attorneys may proceed. You may proceed if you're ready.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think we were having some. Can you hear?
Is that on?
Oops. Hi.
That's okay. 2 seconds.
Oh, you're all right.
Okay.
Good morning. Wing it. That's it.
There we go.
Try not to touch it. At this time, I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal time. Your Honors, counsel, may it please the court, my name is Amy Melton, and I represent the appellant Jason Boyer, the father of Micah Boyer, age 5 at the time of trial. This is a case that, if upheld, will set an unconscionable precedent and further diminish the parental rights and importance of the role of fathers in children's lives. The facts of this case, Jason and Lauren, the parties, were married when they gave birth to their son Micah in 2010. At the time, Jason was a member of the United States Air Force, and they were stationed in California. Jason had surgery and was prescribed a drug called Tramadol, a member of the ibuprofen family, and he unintentionally became dependent on the drug, but sought assistance from the military and successfully completed a program and counseling, continued in good standing with the military after a thorough investigation, drug testing, and remained honorably with the military. During that time, though, Lauren decided to move home to Nebraska with her child where her parents lived. When the divorce was initially filed in 2011, the court in California allowed Lauren to remain in Nebraska and did initially order that Jason should submit to drug testing before any visitations, although Lauren never asked for any. By the time the decree was entered in 2013, the court granted Jason joint legal custody and physical custody to the mother in Nebraska and allowed for 1 week visitations in Nebraska with a 2 week notice. On page 34 of the transcript, there were no limitations on the number of weeks, nor did the court order drug testing in 2013 in the final decree. I believe there was a misstatement in the district court's opinion and order where the court stated that in his procedural history that drug testing continued to be ordered in the final.
Was there any expert testimony at all that Tramadol, he was addicted to Tramadol, which is
There wasn't, Your Honor, and in fact, he just did some counseling with the military. He needed some additional physical therapy due to the pain that he was in, and once achieving that, he hadn't used it again. And in fact, we submitted hair follicle testing at the time of trial, showing that there was no tramadol at all, and specifically tested for tramadol. He also had to continue to go through drug testing with the military, and after they found out about the tramadol, they did some additional testing at that time, and all came back negative, and all was submitted. None whatsoever, Your Honor.
But the issues in this case, counsel, were was there a legitimate reason to move, and was it in the best interest of the child for the mother to remove the child from the state and go to Alaska? So can we, let's go to those two issues.
And Judge Pearl, you're absolutely correct. What happened was that Jason, in 2014, a year after the divorce was entered, moved to Nebraska. After 10 years in military service, he ended his commitment. He had to follow through with that. And then took an honorable discharge, moved to Nebraska to be with his son. Everything was about his son. He had no family, no friends in Nebraska, and moved here to be a father. He spent 18 months before trial having a relationship with his son. There were no issues with the visitation. There was frequent weekly visitation with the child in Nebraska.
And until these proceedings occurred, the mother and father were able to work out the visitation between themselves here in Nebraska?
Yes, Your Honor, they were. And in fact, there was no court proceedings even filed until this matter came about. So in June of 2015, Ms. Lauren had met a gentleman on an internet dating site sometime previous to that, but had her first meeting with this gentleman who was from Nenana, Alaska, in June of 2015. He came to Omaha and spent Father's Day weekend with Lauren and Micah. It was the first time the child had met this gentleman as well. Approximately 30 days later, in July 2015, Lauren went and met him for a second time in another state and left Micah in Nebraska. At that time, she became engaged.
Apologize for interrupting. I'm concerned about running out of time before we get to really the meat of the case, and we are quite familiar with the facts. And so my question, and let's just fast forward and assume that the marriage was a legitimate reason to move. I'm not saying that I agree with that, but let's just assume that at this point. What are your best arguments? What factors weigh in favor under the best interest quality of life factors weigh against this removal?
Well, Your Honor, I think that the most important, first of all, I think the motives of this father should be given great weight at this time. In many of the previous cases, the court often just focuses on the custodial parent, their motives, and the quality of life. But here, this father moved and established a true bond with his child in the state of Nebraska.
Second, he moved once to be with his child. Was there any evidence that he could move again? Because he moved with no ties under the child. Now the child's
Well, the town in Alaska, Nenana, Alaska, is almost an hour outside Fairbanks. It's very, very small, so the opportunities for employment are very slim. He enrolled in a master's program in cybersecurity, so he may be able to move, but I think getting employment anywhere near where his son is would be very difficult, and there is no evidence that there would be any jobs available there. But I also think that the impact that the move will have on the contact between the child and the non-custodial parent is the most significant. It's the extreme distance between Nenana, Alaska, and really almost anywhere else in our country. In order to drive to Nenana, Alaska, you actually have to leave the country and go through Canada and have a passport. He would have to fly into Fairbanks, drive, and of course the weather in Alaska is not very conducive to frequent visitation there either. I think that is one of the most significant parts of this. But when you're determining the potential the move will have to enhance the child and the parent's quality of life, I believe that the district court focused mainly on the quality of life for Lauren. And I think that the court did not necessarily focus on the quality of life for this child. And when you look at the factors, the physical and emotional needs of the child, the court focuses on the fact that the father did not spend a great early portion of the child's life because Lauren was here in Nebraska, and he was serving in the military. He was serving our country in California. And I think that the fact that the court used that against him for purposes of saying that the child is more emotionally connected to the mother, therefore removal should be allowed, I really think sets a dangerous precedent for military people.
First request in his filings that the child remain in Nebraska with the hope that the mother would remain in Nebraska as well.
Absolutely. In fact, the father was not asking for a change in custody unless the mother decided to leave Nebraska. He actually believes it's in the child's best interest to have both parents actively involved in the child's life. The other thing, the factors, it's been well set that in Nebraska, you have to prove that you will enhance the quality of life for employment. There is absolutely no evidence that Lauren's employment would be improved by a move to Nenana. In fact, there was hearsay evidence that was wrongly admitted showing that she speculatively had a position there. There was absolutely no evidence that the quality of life of this child would be benefited other than he might live in a house other than a two-bedroom apartment. And I do not think that that would weigh in favor of removal. I am at the two-minute mark.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel? Your honors, I represent the appellee, Lauren Boyer, now known as Lauren Stone, who is the mother of a little boy that was 5 years old at the time of trial. This case was tried for a number of days in front of the Sarpy County District Court. The court patiently heard all of the testimony in detail, heard all of the witnesses, and made certain determinations. And I know the court is very aware of those determinations, but they culminated in my client, Lauren, being allowed to remove her little boy and relocate to the state of Alaska to live with her husband. Your Honor, the first burden that we had to carry was the one of legitimate reason. Now, the court has steadfastly held that marriage is a legitimate reason. My client got married, and she wanted to move to Alaska to be as a family with her husband.
Didn't the court, though, expressly share the concerns of the father about the legitimacy of this marriage? I realize he found a legitimate reason to move, the trial court did, but at one point in the order, didn't he also express concern about the legitimacy or the duration of this marriage?
The court said at one point in its order that it did share a concern about the short amount of time that this couple had known each other physically. However, I would remind the court that not only are they married, but they had known each other for over a year prior to being married. Now, this couple met each other on a Christian website, and they corresponded, and they talked, and they got to know each other, as they quoted to the court, from the inside out, they fell in love over a solid year. They met each other with this deep commitment, with all of these things in common, with base core issues in common, and they became engaged, and then they became married.
Well, again, I'll ask the same question of you, assuming we agree with you that you've met that first threshold question of a legitimate reason to move this child from Nebraska to Alaska. Let's talk about the other factors then. As I understand the record, this little child had only met this new husband two times before this court proceeding. Is that true, before the trial?
He met him on three different occasions, one of which took place in Alaska over a holiday, which was a number of days, yes.
So there's really not a bond established with his stepfather at this point, or at the time of trial.
At the time of trial, there was very limited bond with the stepfather. We have to consider it, of course, but there's very limited bond with the stepfather and the step-siblings. I believe that you're correct there.
And so other than his mother, this child doesn't really know anybody else in Alaska.
That's not altogether true. He does know those people. Does he have a significant bond with those people, or did he have a significant bond at time of trial? They were developing a bond. However, I would remind the court that at time of trial, Mr. Boyer, through his own actions, not through military service, through his own actions, had only been a part of Micah's life for 11 months.
Well, he had visited the child in Nebraska several times prior to this proceeding, hadn't he?
On four occasions.
But they'd only lived here a year.
They had lived here since the separation in 2014.
Right, and he moved in September of 2014.
He moved here, I'm sorry, I misstated. The parties were divorced in 2011, and my client moved here in 2011. He moved here in 2014. Now, please understand that while Learned Counsel has stated he was in military service, please do not ignore what is repeated in the transcript and in brief, that this little boy and his mother were physically tossed out of the appellant's house by him.
Well, I realize that there's some historical facts here that are definitely things the trial court considered, but as there's a proposition that we look at what's occurred in the most recent time frame, let's focus on since the father's been in Nebraska.
Okay.
There has been, as I understand it, very regular visitation.
There has been visitation. However, this visitation, as the transcript is rife with, testimony about extreme abuse as far as the visitation. Now, this wasn't physical abuse, but there was a common occurrence of the father refusing to return the child, of the police becoming involved when the father refused to return the child, of terrible emails, terrible communication with the mother, terrible verbal abuse. This did not go well. And the record is full of that. I did cover that in depth in my brief, as Your Honor knows. However, I would like to address some of the points that we had to show to the court. The first thing that we had to show was, of course, that my client should remain in custody of the child. And the court found that there was very little evidence that was presented, if any, that my client lacked at all in parental skills. She was everything to this little boy.
I don't believe the father contested that.
And he didn't. The father, of course, had his own problems. He had a problem, I suppose, first with the drug addiction. There was an awful lot of testimony that it was not just a painkiller, that he was found snorting this in the garage of his home, that eventually the addiction caused, and let me insert, spent a lot of the couple's money, as is in the transcript and in the brief, spent a lot of the couple's money trying to get this drug online. Did he go through his military insurance? No.
And I do understand your concern, and I'm not trying to minimize it, but what we're talking about here is whether it was appropriate for the court to allow this mother to move this child from Nebraska to Alaska and the impact upon the father and the child. And so that's what I'd really like you to tell me. What are your best arguments as to why this was an appropriate decision?
Well, we have to look at, first of all, the custody, which I've touched on. Next, I would look at the 8 or 9 elements, depending on which case law you're going under, whether you're going to follow the Jack versus Clinton case law. The first element, the emotion, physical development needs of the child. Clearly, the court found this to be in Lauren's favor. She has always been in charge of Micah's emotional needs. She was there for him. She was there for him the entire time. The court recognized the strong bond. At the time of trial, as I pointed out, Mr. Boyer had been here in the state of Nebraska 11 months. The court heard all the evidence. The court found that there was a far deeper and closer relationship with the mother and Micah.
But the court could have still said, I'm not changing custody unless you move to Alaska, but I'm requiring the child to remain in Nebraska.
And certainly the courts could have said that. However, if the child were to remain in Nebraska and my client were in Alaska as she was carrying the child of the marriage at that point in time, the court questioned whether Mr. Boyer was, and I quote, fully prepared for the heavy lifting of full-time parenting. This prong was strongly in Lauren's favor.
What was her response when asked what she would do if the court required the child to remain in Nebraska?
At that point in time, my client was torn. She was carrying another child, and the court was asking her on very short notice to choose between two children. And frankly, at time of trial, she couldn't do that. The response would be much different today. But at time of trial, how can a mother choose between two children?
Well, she could have had her other child in Nebraska, I suppose.
If I might proceed with my last minute, Your Honor, we moved through each one of the elements, and I would have liked to have moved through, but we're running short of time. And the court either found that these elements were in my client's favor or they were neutral. The court heard all the evidence. The court saw the witnesses.
Let me stop you there.
Yes, Your Honor.
I think Judge Arterburn did agree that the move was going to affect the relationship between the father and the child because of the distance, did he not?
He saw that it may affect the relationship. However, the parenting plan was specifically designed to foster that relationship and keep it intact.
And as I recall, nobody is complaining about the terms of the parenting plan. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, Your Honor. Your Honor, as we go through each one of these elements, it's very clear that Lauren is this little boy's father, that Lauren is in Alaska, that she has a child of the marriage, that she is in Alaska pursuing her life. In Alaska, she could provide a much better life for this child. She has work hours that are exactly the same as the child's hours in school.
But didn't she also testify that she was going to be a stay-at-home mother?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe that was her testimony. Her testimony was that she would at some point in time maybe like to do that, but right now had a job, and had a job with the Neenah Public Schools.
But wasn't that, assuming that that exhibit was properly admitted, wasn't that really just a very short-term position to do a study as to whether the school district needed a nurse?
The obligation was short-term. However, licensed practical nurses very much in need in Alaska.
Was there evidence presented to that effect?
Only testimony, Your Honor. There was extensive testimony by both Lauren and, I believe, her husband as to the necessity of practical nurses. I see my time is up. Were there any other questions?
No. No other questions.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, it's clear that the court relied upon some misinformation and speculation when analyzing all of the prongs and what's in the best interest of the child. The love story is a compelling emotional tale. However, the love story of a father and son is more compelling. And the relationship between the parent and a child deserves the most deference. I do believe that the district court abused its discretion in considering the appellee's alleged pregnancy that was presented as a surprise on the day of trial with no evidence offered whatsoever other than the testimony of Lauren. There was no testimony that her husband was actually the father. And it was a speculative job offer based upon an email that was received only a day before trial, neither of which were presented to counsel before trial, even though formal discovery and depositions had been done in this case. I think that the allegations that were presented here and in the brief were not supported by the record. There was no evidence of any physical altercations between the parties at any time, even in California. There were no allegations of domestic violence, no charges, nothing presented at trial. There was no evidence in regards to her work hours other than what she believed they may be when she hopefully would create a position that the school board would hopefully pass and would hopefully have the money for. I believe that if you go through all of the factors, the majority of the factors weigh in the fact that it would be in the best interest for this child, Micah, to stay here with the father. And I believe that allowing this removal will set a precedent that actually opens a Pandora's box for families, especially military fathers in this state. I believe the court abused its discretion and is unfairly depriving this father of a substantial right and of a just result. I know that these cases are very difficult, but I do believe that the relationship between a parent and child should be paramount in deciding this case.
Would your position be any different if the mother had moved to Washington State or somewhere within the borders of the country, or would you still be making the same?
My argument would be the same, but I think the travel distance and the travel for the father would be even greater. So I think in this case, the argument is actually just boosted by the fact that it is so difficult to travel to Neenah, Alaska, and that it's so far away from Omaha. It certainly is not South Dakota.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both. You are excused, and your case is submitted. The next case this morning is State versus Wynn.